You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it three times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Hunting Gear Podcast. And we are brought to you by Code Blue Sense and Reveal Trail Cameras by Tacticam. And the topic of conversation today is going to be bowtech. All right. Every year I have you on. I try to get a lot of bow manufacturers on and talk about the new products, the new lineup for this year. And so that's going to be the meat and potatoes of this episode. But before we get into the episode, we got to talk about the more important stuff. And that is, how was your season this year, Todd?
You know, it was looking good. I struck out here in Oregon. It was another hot one. I think the last time we talked last season, it was hot. It didn't fail me again. Well, it did fail me again, but it was pretty warm. So, I had the buck I was looking for came in with like 1 minute of legal shooting time, and I couldn't see my pins one day out of five. So it was a no go there. So we went to, did some stuff in Texas. This year again, we always go down with Mike Stroff down there, down in all of his SOE Outfitters. I did a couple of hunts down there. I went Axis. Axis, I didn't have any opportunity to Axis, but we went on our sweepstakes hunt here in the fall. So we, through Bowtech and through Excalibur, we did our hunt sweepstakes, and we took our winners down there. And I hunted a management tag. So I was I had to be really, really picky, and I saw one. Again, you know, just didn't get an opportunity to shoot it, but our winners were very successful, which is great, especially on the Excalibur side. So we're pretty much done for the year. Looking forward to next year. Another strikeout for me.
I'll tell you what,
this year,
my goal this year was $4. I had four buck tags, and I went to South Dakota. I shot my very first mule deer ever in my entire life, and so the second I put my hands on the antlers, I was like, successful season, right? Like I didn't really care about anything else.
There you go.
Iowa was a real struggle through the rut as far as weather and temperatures, and just, it felt like the rut, it was happening, but in glue. And then I went to Kansas and I shot a good buck in Kansas too. And so there's still a little time here in Iowa for muzzleloader. But I think I've burnt all my bridges, and I'm back to reality. Yep. And so I don't think I'm going to probably get a chance to get out unless it's really close to home.
Yeah. And it's tough for us sometimes too, because all of our product launches generally hit right in the prime time. Beginning of November, mid November. So, and even leading up to that. So we're pretty much locked down here in HQ prepping for launches. So I don't get out as much as I would like. I think a lot of people think, you know, when you get into, especially the bow company, you know, you see consumers, man, you must get to hunt all the time. It's almost the opposite anymore.
I'm glad you brought that up, because this kind of leads me into one of the questions as far as the bow manufacturers themselves. As a person who is preparing for archery season, I want to buy my brand new bow in June or July. And that's when I would assume
a lot of the companies would come out with their new bow to prepare for the upcoming hunting seasons. And it just seems that it's October and November after the seasons have already started, bow manufacturers are releasing their new products. Why is that?
You know, and it's yeah, full transparency. It's totally on the bow manufacturers to train that buying season. Unfortunately, it's it used to be ATA was the big launch for everybody. It was, you know, we did the big hoopla, us, Matthews, PSC. We always had the biggest launches there. And then it became kind of a, you know, a race to be first, to launch first. And then, unfortunately, at that point, it causes your dealers to start changing how they buy. Because, you know, then you got to start looking at shelf space. So, and it's interesting you said June, because we've done a lot of research at Bowtech pinging our consumers, and then they said the same thing. So last year we launched that limited edition Honor in July. So that was kind of the reason there to just kind of get a pulse on is that kind of the sentiment true? You know, are we hearing the right thing? And people were excited to get it. And we had people hunting with the Honor, the limited edition bow. So it did give us a good taste. So it's going to give, there's going to have to be a manufacturer that breaks away from it. And it's going to, it'll really take a good year turn. Because dealers need to start changing their buying habits at that point, because they're stocked up heavy, you know, going through that year. So they've got to be able to, you know, really, and it's good communication with your dealer, all of our dealer base, getting them to, you know, they got to sell down a little earlier to start freeing up some hooks. So not saying that we're going to do it, but it's definitely going to take somebody to break away and give it a good, good 1 year turn to be able to
so when, convert when, to that. When so, and if that that time comes, that first early release, that would that throw off a lot of your development of the next bow, and then 2 years down the road, does it change all that, or do you already have all that taken care of?
No, you know, we have to factor that in, but we're in a road mapping, you know, we're 3-4 years out of what we're going to come out with, and really the launch timing. As we're thinking now, granted, you know, like 28, we're, you know, we're not dead set and saying, hey, we're going to launch November. You know, that's just one of those ones. But, you know, we are trying to, you know, to make that conversion, you have to factor that into your sourcing schedule, into your prototyping schedule, all that, because, you know, you have secondary companies, like we have our own machine facility here. But you do have secondary companies that help augment that. So you have to really work with them for prototyping products and things like that, risers and cams and limbs and things of that nature, to get that stuff earlier to be able to adapt to a shorter cycle like that.
The last question that I have, it's a two-part question. One.
Sure.
How do you guys come up with the name of the bows? Two, can I name a Bowtech bow sometime?
You know what? I will take the help. I'll answer number two first. I will take all the help I can get, you know, and that's another one where consumers, I always hear, man, it must be awesome, you know, coming up with the names on the bows and everything else. I think every manufacturer out there will agree with me is that is the hardest thing to do. We can come up with some clever names. That's not the hard part. It's the USPTO. Back when they adopted that in the 80s, it filled up quickly. And the class we're in, so we're class 35 and 28, which is sporting goods and then also sporting marketing. Basketballs are in that. Badminton is in that. Tree stands, cushions, things, anything that's an outdoor sport, we're in. So we could file a name like Honor. Right. Let's say we came out with the Honor last year, or even the Proven. We have the Proven this year. So let's say we filed for the Proven, even just to at least get a trademark on it, because trademark, all you have to do is file. If you get the right examiner, they're going to overlook, let's say, a volleyball. Well, you got a volleyball from whatever name the Proven. Yeah, it's non-conflicting. They're not going to be on the shelf. It's not going to be perceived as a conflicting product. You could get, and I've had examiners see that. Oh, nope. You're in class 35, so McGregor's got something, one of their products called the Proven. So then we have to go back and then refile and then file arguments basically of why it's the why there's not going to be confusion, why we wouldn't confuse it, cause confusion in the market. So there is a lot that goes into naming a boat, and that's why you see a lot of us going to acronyms and numbers. Because one, they're not trademarkable. Well, registerable, you can trademark them. You know, like we always said, the BTX, the CP, because it keeps you out of trouble there too, as well, doing all that work. But it's tough. I love naming a bow, but just trying to get past trademarking or registering it, that
is very, I know you're very a hard tough. Guy to schedule That's meetings with, tough, so. But if you ever have 30 minutes of a brainstorming session and you need some guy to just be outside of the box with naming conventions, hit me up. Yep. I'll be happy to donate my time.
Well, let's plan it, because I've got to start naming the 26 boats.
I'm down.
So,
I'm down.
I'm ready. So. Yep. Yeah, let's. I'm definitely up for it. I'll take all the ideas, because you know we have a good group here, a good core group in our product development team. But you just year to year, it's the same. All of us, you know, the guys and gals, trying to rack our brains in this. At some point, you just glaze over sometimes. And again, I know every single manufacturer out there, bow manufacturer, probably going, "Yep, I agree."
It's like
I'm sure
like
they agree right
when
now.
it's take your dad to school day, and everybody thinks their dad has some awesome job, and then they get there, and it's not as awesome as they think it is. Where it's just like, "All right, guys,
yeah,
it's time to name another bow," and everybody's like, "Oh no, I don't want to name another bow. It's so hard." So. I get it.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get together and do a competition or do a giveaway and do some 100%. Naming polls through you guys.
100%. All right. I ask this question to you specifically and all bow manufacturers every year. You know, what was last year's flagship bow? Yep. Okay.
We had the Core SS and the Core SR last year.
The Proven 34 and the Solution LS, right?
Yeah, the Solution LS was technically not our flagship, but it's emerged as our flagship with the popularity since we've launched it. So, yeah, those were our two for this year. And then we had the Proven 34s available in a long draw as well. So kind of a replacement for the Revolt XL.
I know there is a planning and preparation stage in every product release, you know, from the point where it's testing prototypes to making sure it works to getting customer feedback to launch and all that stuff. So when you guys go through that progression of the Core series, and then now you're to the Proven and Solution LS, what does that look like in a meeting per se, when you're discussing last year's bows and the outcome of the new flagship bows for 25?
Sure. And you know, we're like, I was kind of talking about the road mapping process, because, you know, the industry is very, very cyclical. I mean, you get your speed, you get your smooth, you get your long. Technology is the toughest thing, you know, to come up with. And there's a lot of good companies, and there's some stuff that came out this year, and kudos to a lot of our competitors out there. They thought outside the box, you know, and that's what we really need, because, you know, as an industry as a whole, and I get people ask, you know, like, what can you guys come up with next? You know, at what point does compound archery bows, you know, where do we hit the ceiling? But, you know, then that's what we're looking at roadmap. And we always kind of look at line extensions a little bit. So, for example, we came out with the Core SS and the Core SR. Two, they were kind of to replace some previous models that kind of fit that niche. So the little faster bow and more of just this super smooth oriented bows that kind of had lived their life cycle. And adopted over some of those technologies that we released on the Reckonings, like the time lock, then the adjustable grip and the grip lock. Previous to that was the SS34. That was our previous flagship bow. Ton of success with that bow. As soon as we launched the SS34 or the Core SS and the Core SR, people loved it, and we did phenomenally with it. But then you start getting feedback. Man, we would love to have that center mass technology with that inline sight system. We would want time lock. We want grip lock on a little longer axle-to-axle bow. And we see it all the time, even when we launched SS and SR. Man, I would have loved to have an SS34 with those same things on there. So we watch that, and that's the biggest thing. And we'll look at our roadmap and say, hey, does that align with our roadmap? Are we doing the right thing? And we usually have the ability to deviate a little bit. Usually we're pretty darn close, because we're pulling people a lot earlier. But if we need to deviate a little bit, we can deviate a little bit, do a little juking and jiving, yeah. But it's all about just keeping a pulse for us. So, and then also thinking outside the box at that point, all right, year two and three from right now, 27 and 28, you know, what can we do to shake up the industry? And that's where we're looking at. Cause usually a new technology or a new feature takes a little bit longer than just a line extension for
and
the following year.
The outcome of all of those things is this new bow. Mm-hmm. So
correct.
The question is, how do you plan for 26, 27? Because like with a company as high, as big as your guys, you have to have logistical planning this far ahead. So how do you implement industry trends short term that are popping up and people are asking for on an already scheduled bow for 25?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and it's, you know, once we're into the new year, it's not, I mean, we can move a little bit. Some things are pretty baked, you know, and we're watching, like I said, most of it's going to be watching that cycle. Cycles usually don't deviate too much from, you know, carbon to smooth to fast. That you almost can set your, you know, mark it on your calendar and set your watch to it of what's going to be the trend for the following year. And you see it, everybody comes out the same thing in the manufacturer. So, I mean, for us, it was kind of the proven was already on the docket for this year and it hit right on. So, you know, it worked out pretty well. And a lot of times we're able to, if something, let's say it was on the roadmap and we heard a pulse that previous year of something we really didn't think of, we have the ability to kind of do a limited release, maybe spin something up in a short term to kind of fill that niche and see if it's going to be something that's going to take off. Maybe do a 1,000 bow run. And then if it takes off, we can do something like the, you know, expand it. Now, the solution LS is a good example. So that was intended to be kind of a limited run because we had a lot of people asking kind of for a reintroduction of the solution SS, maybe a little lighter on it, maybe a little aesthetic change on it. And that's what we did. Now we actually, the limited run, we're almost sold through the year one and two limited run. So we're going to expand it a little bit because people want it. So that's kind of a good indicator for us as well. So we have the ability to do that. But the big thing is, you know, from the nice thing is we're all hunters as a hunter, we know what we want, you know, same thing with consumers. You know, I'm not saying, you know, we want this and you're going to want that, but you know, new technologies, things that are tangible benefits to make our lives easier, you know, kind of, we got a good pulse on that. So that's why we kind of 2-3 years out ahead of it, start working on new technologies outside of just those line extensions.
Blows my mind is how the industry fluctuates from axle to axle. I don't understand how, like for me, once I found out that I shoot better with a longer axle to axle, then I have stuck with a longer axle to axle bow. Right. And it's been a handful of years now. And so, it's cause it's been long. It went short for a while. Now it's back to the popular thing seems to be, you know, that 32 to 34 axle to axle. And it blows my mind every year. And I'm just assuming that within the next 5 years, people are going to want to go short again. And I don't understand.
It's going to loop right back around. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. And it's like I said, you almost can mark it on the calendar. And, you know, axle to axles are one of those ones where you have, when we go to the drawing board, we always kind of have a, this is where we would like to land in our specs. This to this on the axle to axle, this to this on the speed, brace height, so on and so forth. So as the engineering and the R&D develops to get to a speed or to get to a brace height or get to a feel on a draw, sometimes one has to give a little bit. So you may end up have to go a little inch longer, a little inch shorter, taller on the brace height, shorter on the brace height. But usually it's only a couple inches. So that's something for us that may be intended as a 31 may end up a 33. To kind of hit, you know, oh man, it's just, it's a little unstable in the hand. Let's bump it out a little bit. Let's smooth it out.
This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
Out a little bit. Let's speed it up a little bit. So sometimes that's, you know, that's a big factor into it as well. You know, you may have a 34 inch on the drawing board and like, it's generally not going to go to a 36 unless it becomes a target bow. But, you know, a 32 may become a 33
or vice
versa. What is
the actual axle on the Solution LS?
Solution LS is 30.
Okay. All right. You talked briefly about this bow was not intended to be the flagship, but it has really jumped in popularity. Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
I think it's just price point a little bit. Now, it's $1,200, but flagship bows, just because of material costs, overhead, things like that, are creeping up. I mean, you're getting $1,400, $1,500, $1,600. And that bow, we want to launch something that has great tunability, great benefits. It has the deadlock technology, but try to stay away from that $1,400, $1,500 price point. So we want to kind of fill a little niche there. We have the $899 bows. Really didn't have anything in that $999 to the $1,499 mark. So there's something in there for somebody that didn't have necessarily have the propensity to buy something super high-end like that. And Solution had a lot of equity in the name too. So that's one thing why I stuck with that name. You know, one, it's registered to us, so I didn't have to struggle with the name like we talked about. But it was the opportunity to really reintroduce that based on feedback, but fill that slot of somebody that, I just don't have the extra $200. I need to go buy a dozen arrows. You know, let's offer a product that's got some really tangible benefits to make you successful, super easy to use with deadlock, and bring back out that, you know, lighten it up a little bit, do some kind of fill. You know, right now bows are getting up in that plus four, kind of getting to that 4.5, 4.7 even, an aluminum bow. We're able to get something down closer to that four mark, make it nice, lightweight, 30-inch, maneuverable, and keep it down in that $1,200 price.
All right, the other thing, and here's what I personally am excited about, okay? In the past, a longer axle-to-axle typically meant shorter brace height. Okay, so the PSEs of the worlds, I'm trying to think of a bow that maybe you guys manufactured that was a longer axle to axle with a shorter brace height.
Back in the days, like our Guardians, and even like back in the day, like Black Knights, Pro 40s, things like that, they were longer, 40 inch axle to axle, but it
now,
was short brace height.
The thing that I'll be honest with you, that I like about the Proven 34 is typically you see with a longer, for some reason, the longer axle to axles equal shorter brace height because people want that speed out of those bows. But here's the deal now. Mm-hmm. You got this 7-inch brace height. Talk to me a little bit about what happens to a bow when you have a longer axle to axle with a 7-inch or higher brace height.
Mm-hmm. You really extend, you talked about stability and forgiveness. So that longer axle to axle, it reduces that string angle. So it reduces your twist at full draw. So it's basically if you had a sharper, steeper angle triangle, you'd be able to twist it at the top easier than you would at the quite a bit, you know, more steeper angle like that, or less of a steeper angle. Now, brace height is a big one too. It's the amount of the time your arrow is on your string. So the sooner you can get your arrow off the string, the less likely you are to torque it. So both of those specs really come down to torque. One is twisting torque on your string at full draw. The other one is torquing with your bow hand as the arrow's coming out. So you have the less likelihood to do that. So that's kind of a good combination there. And a lot of times our riser style really helps with that as well. So we have the center pivot style to where the pivot point of your hand is really in line, or the pivot point of the limb is in line with the pivot point of the grip. The front of the limb is further out in front of you, so we're able to still give you a good brace height to it, but keep it stable where it's not rolling in your hand, where it's a reflexed riser. So those of you who are familiar with the deflex and reflexed, a reflex pushes the pivot point of the limb out in front of your hand. And what it wants to do at full draw, it's wherever it's contacting the riser, is trying to pull that around to the back of your hand to pull everything in a line. So if you're able to put that pivot point in line with your hand, or as much as possible closer to a deflex riser, which is your polar opposite, it's going to reduce that torque. But then you're able to play around with your brace heights a little bit, keep that speed up, but make it more forgiving than a reflex riser would be.
All right.
That makes sense. So
the other thing I want to ask is, Bowtech has this deadlock technology, right? A lot of bows within the industry, you don't need a bow press to do work on your bow anymore, right? There's a lot of adjustabilities, and it's supposed, the theory is it makes it easier for the end user to tune their bow to their liking at home. And now I see you guys got the adjustment on the rest, which looks pretty cool. And you have all these other things that are now added. Do all these things, is there a point where now the simplicity of it, it has now become the complexity of it? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. And that's the term technology. And that's why I try to, even from a marketing perspective, I use the term loosely, or technology loosely now, more towards a feature, because the term technology in general can be intimidating. Man, it's got this deadlock technology on it. Oh, I don't want to mess with that. And that's what, you know, when we came out with those features, is more oriented towards the dealer. Hey, we're making, Mr. Dealer, we're making your life easier. It's quicker to set up. But if I'm a consumer and I'm going to buy that bow, I'm like, well, why do I care? It's making it easier for my dealer to set up. Now, we always want our dealers to set up the bows out of the gate. They're going to be your best source. Get the bows in, get it set properly, get it fit to you. But with the deadlock and time lock, you know, it's more of a, one, you got your tinkerers, the person that, hey, just Mr. Dealer, give me my bow. I'm going to go home and set up myself. But those that have your dealer set it up, it gives you the ability to, one, fine tune or correct anything that may have happened. So let's say if we're out hunting, we're not anywhere close to town. I've been on hunts, you know, I was 2 hours, 3 hours from town or even more. And let's say you fall, you bend your rest, you screw up your rest, you need to put your backup on there. You don't have any way to you know, play with your cam lean or make adjustments there. Well, with deadlock, you can center shot the rest, center shot the height. I always, at camp, I have an impromptu paper tuner that I can kind of throw up something, a box with a piece of paper in it, just in case. Then at that point, you shoot it through paper and you can make that adjustment on your cam, unlock a screw and move it. So, I do that more of, you know, hey, just, it helps you. You know, it's kind of a DIY, get you out of a jam. Or if you're the tinkerer, the same thing with time lock, which gives you the ability to adjust your cable length without a bow press. And I think that one is even more critical, because those of us that travel from hot to cold hunts, like I go from Oregon here in June, which is pretty mild, go down to Texas and Axis hunt in June, mid-June, and it's going to be 80, 90 degrees. So I'll always, and I don't care who makes strings and cables, the best aftermarket string and cable company, they will move, especially when you get the extreme heat like that. So I always check my bows before I leave. I check the cam position. When I got to Texas, I noticed, oh man, that was out a little bit. I was shooting a little low. I reset it really quick with a time lock, and I was back on in 5 minutes. So I didn't have to go find a dealer. I didn't have to go find a press. So we want people to be in control of fixing little issues like that. If something happens, we want to make sure your hunt's not ruined and you've got to burn a half a day of a hunt to go find something to fix it. But in general, you know, once that stuff's tuned, locked down, you're good to go. And you know, heat's going to generally do things to heat and cold, but it's about making your life easier. So it's a locking screw, adjustment screw. And the nice thing is there's marks on it and you can't screw it up. You can reset the things. If you throw deadlock out left and right, throw your time lock off, you just reset it to the center and then start over again. If you're tinkering with it and you tinker too much, you're not screwed up. Just go back to your baseline and try it again. It's not much.
What else about the two bows for 25? You know, what else do we need to know about them?
Yeah, so the proven 34 again, you know, is that longer axle to axle bow, and it kind of filled that spot too. So we actually, and last year we introduced a center mass sight system. So you see the industry going to more of that inline sight system to help with the balance. We introduced our own last year. And we did an updated version this year to move it the bar further to the inside of the shelf and dovetail it in. And that was based on dealer and consumer feedback. They wanted a little better balance, move it in even further. We were in the center before, but hey, can you move it even further? So we dovetailed it on the inside. A couple other pieces of feedback we received is our first version had one screw that retained it. We wanted the ability to add a second screw in there just in case, you know, one screw, if it comes loose, then your sight comes loose. With two, you still have the other one to lock it down. So it's more rigid security on the sight system on the bar. And then also it gave it the ability to get more visibility in your housing. So right now with a vertical bar, so our sister company Black Gold makes our center mass sights for us on Bowtech as well. So on the V1, the vertical bar blocked the right edge of your, if you're a right-handed shooter, blocked the right edge of your aperture a little bit. So by changing our bar mounting system, we were able to give you about 5% more. Now, it doesn't sound like a ton, but based on what was blocked and you get 5% more, it just barely cuts off the right edge. So you almost get full ring visibility now. So that's said it, you know, several times here. It's everything we do is about consumer feedback. And, you know, hey, we said it or we heard it enough times from our dealers and our consumers. We're like, hey, 25, let's do it. And then now anything on the Core SS and the Core SR that are going to be built from here on out, we're converting or we're going to be implementing that new sight system as well. So, and then we added grip lock as well in the proven 34. So the adjustable grip system. So you can, you know, that's one of those things that, out of everything on a bow, cam systems, the draw, the speed, that is the most subjective piece on a bow. Yep. And everybody wants to try a new grip, whether you wrap it or you buy several different height grips. And we wanted to give consumers the ability to adjust it themselves and not go buy, you know, two or three grips to try them out to get the right one. They're not cheap. You know, grips aren't cheap. So with a 3/32 Allen wrench, you can unlock it, adjust it, and then you're good to go, and you get the perfect fit. So it's super forgiving for you.
Absolutely. So. Anything else on the proven 34?
No. I mean, we're excited. Oh, two new kits, man. I totally missed that. So flagship kits. So that's one thing we haven't done in the past. So everything in our price point bows, we've offered it in a kit version. So another step to make it easier for the buyer. We wanted to give two kit options to save time for going, needing to search around, find the best accessories. So we offer a what we call a mountain kit and a tree stand kit. So the mountain kit includes the ripcord ratchet limb-driven rest, a 5-pin center mass sight, the tight spot 5-arrow quiver, and our 8-inch stabilizer, our center mass stabilizer. On the tree stand kit, you get the dual track center mass sight, the cable-driven ripcord ratchet limb rest, 6-inch stabilizer, and our center mass, and it's also made by Tight Spot Quiver. So you can get that as a kit, good to go. You don't have to go searching around. You can just, when you go to your dealer and you get your proven bow, you say, I want the kit as well. And then you don't have to wait, go searching around. That's awesome. He can set you up out
there. Everywhere you go, you see kits now. It just becomes, people just want, a lot of people want easy buttons, and being able to just hit one button and get everything at the same time, I don't know, it's just better for everybody, I guess.
I like it.
All right, anything about the Solution LS?
Yeah, the Solution LS, like I was saying, it's really, you know, I recommend people getting out there and shooting it. If you haven't heard of the Solution before, you won't be disappointed at all because that bow is super light. I shot the Solution when it was out originally, and it was one of those ones that when I picked it up when we were back in development again and building that bow again, I was in love with it again. Now, I'm not normally that 30-inch axle-to-axle guy. We were talking about that. They shoot good for me. I shoot a 34, a 33 much better. This Solution is a tack driver for me. I shoot some really good groups with it. So I think a lot of it's in the cam system as well. The riser design is one of those ones that it's really super forgiving. And again, you got a $1,200 price point and you still go buy accessories. And we offer that one in a kit as well. So you can get all of our sister company accessories out the door. We call it the Fast Track Kit. Black gold tight spot, ripcord, and our center mass stabilizer. Still within a really, really affordable price. You got money to go buy arrows and buy a release, and you're ready to hit the field.
All right, I got to ask you a question about something that has also happened to you guys in the past, okay? And it was a long time ago that you got – that Bowtech had some manufacturing issues, right? Okay, it's a long time ago. You guys solved that problem. Yep. You were on the bad end of that. Recently, there's been some issues with another bow manufacturer struggling with manufacturing issues, and they've had to, send out big apology letters to their users and things like that. What does that do when a major player in the category has issues? Do you guys see a flood or any crossover from that to where more people are using or are coming to Bowtech then at that point?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You definitely get that. I mean, especially, you get people that are on the fence. And then you get your diehards. A bow can never go wrong. For a diehard, that I respect that. I mean, I love people are, diehard fans. But you will get the guys and gals that are on the fence and they hear that. As people, as soon as one thing happens, it's on the forums, it's on social media, and people watch that, and more and more. It used to be a very small group that are on those forums. It's getting much larger. Even if they're just, silent, they're watching. So things like that do definitely pull people over. You see it, as soon as you start seeing, and in general, this year has been down across the board it's been flat. So we're seeing it for us, we're seeing a really good year, but even in the, other manufacturers that aren't having problems, it's kind of been a flatter year. It's been not bad. It's not pandemic numbers by any means. Pandemic was phenomenal for archery sales, but when you run into somebody like that has an issue, it definitely helps. And it's not forgotten for a few years. I mean, we dealt with the same thing, and then fortunately, we're well past that at this point. And I think For the most part, forgotten, unless it's a fanboy from another company.
I'll never buy a Bowtech. Fanboys. No. I love fanboys. Outside of that, I know whenever I have someone on from a manufacturer and I try to get some insight into what is coming next or what trends seem to be coming more popular, I always get a deflect answer. So I'll just ask it. What's coming down the pipe? What kind of trends should we be looking for in 2025, 2026? And how is that going to impact what Bowtech does in the future?
Yeah, I always tell exactly what you just said. I always tell everybody, but I'm going to give you a better answer this time. So I always tell everybody that, I've been here 20 years now at Bowtech, and I want to retire here. But, I'm excited to share that, look out for ATA. We've got some cool stuff coming from Bowtech. Probably going to be dropping some teasers here pretty quick. A lot of people have dropped things and have heard things already. There's some stuff out there in the old interweb of something coming. So I can safely say it's coming. So everybody keep an eye out. If you've been waiting and are on the fence with Bowtech, I would, watch out for the show. I'll be there. I'll be sharing some cool stuff. So we're super excited. Now year two, next year, even I don't want to say even better stuff, but there's some really exciting stuff going into 26 and 27 as well. Prototypes of things are already coming in, And it's just not Bowtech. We have some exciting stuff across all of our brands, from Excalibur, all, you know, Black Gold. There's some really cool, exciting stuff coming that, you know, with sights, you generally say, hey, you know, what can you do with the sight for Black Gold? You know, I encourage everybody to keep an eye out. Right. We got some awesome, awesome stuff coming.
That'll be another podcast I'll get you on, where we can start discussing, you know, the other brands with Impure Archery and things like that. But I think this is a great place to end it. Todd, man, I really appreciate you, as always, coming on and talking about the Pure Archery brands. And good luck at ATA, man.
Thank you. It's going to be a good time. I'm ready to go.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.